Joining us now is our friend Justin Adams. You can follow him on Twitter, Justin Adams TV, and of course catch him in the morning. So usually it seems like every time we have you, Justin, it's early, early morning for you coming up next on CBS4. Thanks for joining us.
Sean, I appreciate it. It is true. Every time I am on, literally, the next morning, I am on Channel 4. So, yes, I'm going to try to get as much sleep as possible, which is like 5 hours. But when you're a dad, that's kind of average.
Yeah, that's actually true, right? I mean, you're used to it. It's okay. That's 100%. The Denver Broncos now have their schedule out. The entire league does. The Broncos with one primetime game, and that even hardly counts because every team gets that primetime game on Thursday. The Broncos' streak of Monday Night Football appearances ends at 29, which was the longest active streak in the league. What are your takeaways from this schedule when you start to look at the exact times and the networks that the Broncos find themselves on?
Well, when you're not a primetime team, then you don't get primetime schedules. And let's be honest, the Broncos are being treated right now like Jacksonville, like the Browns, say, 5 years ago, like teams that we truly despised, that we had to look at. Like, remember on Thursday night when you used to have those Jacksonville-Tennessee games, and right, you wondered why you were even watching that game and why you even liked football in the first place? Well, the Broncos are now in that category. They're that type of team, and that's what happens when you – but the best year you had was 7 wins a couple of years ago, or you had 9 wins under Gary Kubiak after you won the Super Bowl. But when you don't get to the playoffs for 5 years in a row, nobody cares about you. So the Broncos have entered the place of being irrelevant in the eyes of the national media and the NFL, and it showed with the schedule.
Yeah, and they really don't have anyone else to blame for that. But if you're looking on the bright side, of course, instead of looking at strength of schedule from last year, knowing that a third of these rosters turn over every single year, I like to look at their projected win totals and see where they're at, maybe with the folks in Vegas making their educated guesses. Based on that, the Broncos have the second easiest schedule in the entire NFL. Does that sound about right to you? And what does it mean for the way this team should be approaching the season?
Yeah, it does sound about right. Actually, they came in with the fourth easiest schedule, according to CBS Sports had that. And when you look at that, it makes 100% sense. Last year, they had one of the toughest schedules in the NFL. And look, we're not here to create excuses, but it is what it is. Now you have one of the easiest schedules, to the point that right now the Broncos are a one-point favorite on the road starting the season against the New York Giants. That should tell you everything about this schedule, especially how it sets up so far early on. So for the Broncos, it's important for them to be able to take full advantage. It's important for Vic Fangio to finally get a win in September. That's important. So if the team could be able to do that, to get off to a good start, then once you hear you hit the tough part of the schedule from weeks 4 through 7, should give you a better chance to be able to go forward in the year.
Well, I gave you some credit today. I was in the war room schedule breakdown with Chad Brown and with Zach and Stokely earlier today, and pointed out that you've been saying for a while, if he doesn't get a win in September, you're looking at an interim head coach in that game 4 against Baltimore. The guy seemed a little surprised by that, but by the end of the war room, those 2 hours, I think I won them over. So I think you're ahead of the curve there, especially now when you look at the order and those being that soft. I mean, eventually you take a look at it and you think that Trevor Lawrence is going to be good. Maybe Zach Wilson will be good, but you're catching them in their second game and their third game, respectively, in their career. They're certainly going to be better as the year goes on. So to me, you look at these first three, you have, I don't care if your quarterbacks are Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, you have to go 3-0.
Yeah. I don't care if the quarterbacks are you and I. You have to be 3-0. Okay. Let's call it what it is. Okay. You start the season against Daniel Jones, who's not exactly Eli Manning or Peyton Manning for that matter, right? So you start off the season against him with Saquon Barkley coming back from a torn ACL. So he's going to be on a pitch count no matter how much they really want to put him out there on the field if he even plays in that game. By the way, you're a defensive mastermind, right, Vic Fangio? You should find a way with the pieces that you now have on defense to be able to stop the Giants' offense, number one. Number two, you're on the road against Jacksonville. It's still not only a rookie quarterback, but a rookie head coach at the NFL level.
Right.
To the point that you have Urban Meyer looking to sign a 33, 34-year-old journeyman quarterback who just got off playing double-A baseball to be a tight end. If you cannot beat him, then you need to go back to college because there's an issue right there. And oh, by the way, you take on the Jets, who they have a rookie quarterback playing right there, and we know they don't have an offensive line. And oh, by the way, your third-string quarterback beat them on the road last year. So the Broncos, without a doubt, should go 3-0. And if it's not 3-0 and it's 0-3, then George Payton should be on the phone getting ready to go and hire somebody else.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those seasons where it really does remove the excuses. And when you're talking about an easy schedule, and I know there's no gimmies in the NFL, I get that. And I know you're in the AFC West and that's tough, but it's about as easy a schedule as you can get. In the 17th game this year, well, the Broncos get another last-place team. In that case, that's where Detroit was added. So it really can't stack up more favorably. The Broncos have added talent on the defense that not only solidifies their starters, but also gives them depth that they haven't had in a while. And like we've said before, we really know who almost all the starters are. We talked about it before the last couple of months that we knew who 22 of the 24 starters are going to be. We know who 23 of the 24 starters are going to be after adding Kyle Fuller. So this team, barring any sort of amazing run of injuries, isn't really going to have a single excuse available to my mind to not get to 500. And you can't go quite 500 this year without a tie and bite your tongue. I don't even want to think about that idea. But knowing that they probably should win 9 games, do you think they can get there? Do they have enough to get there?
It's all about how you start with this team. I mean, that's just the reality. It's all about how you start because, again, weeks 4 through 7 are going to be so tough. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you're in with the Browns, who are a Super Bowl contending team. It's very important that you start off the year as good as possible. Let's call it what it is. If you could start off the year, let's say after 7 games, say 5-2, 4-3 at the worst, that's a win for this team. So they should be around there. And then you're looking at, okay, now we only have to win, what, 2 division games, 3 division games, and the Lions, and you're at 9 wins. If you look at it that way, in 17 games, you should be able to not only get to 9, but let's be honest, you should be able to hit double-digit victories. But again, this is the Broncos we're talking about under Vic Fangio and under the remnants of what John Elway has left this franchise in. So we don't know what we're going to expect, but hopefully it's not another 5-1 season.
Now, there is no guarantee by any stretch of the imagination the Broncos are going to land Aaron Rodgers. And I know that those visions are dancing in Broncos country's heads, and for good reason. I understand it. There is a possibility that Aaron Rodgers ends up in a Broncos uniform. But more likely than not, you're looking at Bridgewater and Locke. And we've spent all week in our film room looking at these two quarterbacks. And I guess I would like you to compare and contrast to what you've seen. I'll give you my very quick once-over. Drew Locke is more athletic. There is more raw ability there, but he is more mistake-prone, and he certainly has a difficulty compared to Teddy Bridgewater when it comes to the moments in the 2-minute drill and some of those late-game situations. Neither guy was particularly good in them, but Bridgewater was a little more reliable. This, to me, actually seems like a pretty fair quarterback contest because I'm not sure one of these guys is demonstrably better than the other.
No, and unfortunately for Teddy Bridgewater, I believe he was 0-8 in games that were one possession or less. Correct. Or not one possession or less, obviously, but in one possession games, he was 0-8. So you look at that and you say, okay, he won't turn over the ball, but when you're down by 4 points, when you're down by 3 points, he's not exactly going to lead you to that game tying a game-winning drive. And that's an issue for this team because you need somebody to be able to do that. But you know that Teddy Bridgewater, his MO, is not turning over the football, and he's going to make the offense at least have to go 80 yards against the Broncos' defense. So that's one thing you could expect. On the other side, you look at Drew Locke, and Cortland Sutton talked about how, you know, he's starting to get it, he's starting to click and different things like that. He's starting to understand the game better. Well, I'm like this. It's year 3. I mean, you better figure something out. If you can't figure something out with Peyton Manning talking to you, then I don't know who else is going to talk to you. Because if he sat down with me, I'll tell him the truth. Brother, if it doesn't happen for you this year, Drew Locke, then you need to go somewhere else. And then the Broncos would have made a huge mistake not getting Justin Fields in the draft. So to me, if there was one guy I would say at this moment, and I know in previous weeks I've been sounding the alarm to say, Broncos, get somebody, get Aaron Rodgers, get Justin Fields. But if there's one person I would say you got to go and start at this second, I actually say start Drew Locke and see what you have from there.
That's where I was going to go. So I'm glad you looked at that because you're looking at those first 3 games. There's 2 schools of thought, right? It's about as soft a landing spot for Drew Locke to get as he's going to get. Of course, the counterpoint is Vic Fangio needs those wins, as we talked about, and he might be tempted to go to the veteran. Well, one of the things that got better, we're talking with Justin Adams of CBS4. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. Is the right tackle position. They added Bobby Massey yesterday. Today, they added Cameron Fleming. You have now two guys with significant starting experience at that right tackle position. They can let them sort it out in preseason and in a training camp and find a guy. They have dramatically improved that position from last year, and I would make the argument that would be the case that I'd make even if Juwan James was healthy.
100%, and that's probably a decision that, you know, the guy should have made anyway, but I really like it. And here's the thing. It's not just saying we're going to sign somebody and slot him in as the right tackle. Let's have some competition between guys who have NFL experience, and that's exactly what George Payton has done. And I get it. Juwan James, the injury is terrible. It's truly a terrible injury no matter how else you want to look at it, especially for him losing $10 million while working out, away from the facility. So that's tough to see. But with that being said, it's good that George Payton has brought us some competition, brought us some fresh blood. And let's be honest, when you look at that offensive line room, what was one of the biggest things that hurt this team? Depth. And now you bring in more depth to the room. It's a good move all the way around.
Yeah, the really questions just revolve around the quarterback. Now, if that's the case, and we understand that the quarterback is really the guy that makes things go, I want to take a look again, go back to the draft, and you mentioned it. I don't really want to harp on it too much, but there was a really terrific piece on 538.com, a statistical analysis site that does some really good sports content. I sent it back out on Twitter. They did a good job of explaining a little bit what I've been trying to, and what you did as well regarding the Broncos passing on Justin Fields. And I'll give everyone a little bit of a background on it. Now, the median contract value for a cornerback in this league is $2.9 million. The cap share there is about 1.6% of the cap. The median quarterback contract value now is $27 million a year, about 16% of the cap. So by that reckoning, the argument is that if you're making a pick in the first round, trying to get somebody who's going to be a value and give you the benefit of being on that rookie deal, picking a cornerback gives you about 10% of the value of picking a quarterback, assuming that they're both league average guys as first round selections. Does that sound about right? Because I think to a lot of people it sounds shocking, but to me, given the fact that the way the NFL works today, I think that's actually accurate.
It is accurate. Why? Because it's a quarterback-driven league. And I get it. I understand that the mindset of George Payton, of Vic Fangio. You see a lot of spread offenses, right? You think about the Kansas City Chiefs and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and whatever other wide receiver they want to put out there. And Patrick Mahomes, you got to stop those guys and that offense. But at the end of the day, the best way to stop that offense is actually getting a quarterback that could have you compete with that offense. So, yeah, the Broncos missed out on an opportunity there. And hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them in the end. But, look, I get it. You have to get yourself another cornerback, right? Three starting corners. I understand that. But, again, when you talk about just average play, and let's be honest, when we talk about the quarterback position this year for the Broncos, we just want average play. Just give us a little bit above average. Average to above average, and this is going to be a great year. But if not, from what we've seen previously, when you've seen below average play, then you only have 5 wins on a year, and you're at a top 10 pick next year in the draft. So that's what you get. And I hope that the Broncos will – I hope that it pans out with Patrick Surtain, but we'll see what happens overall.
Yeah, I mean, look at Surtain. I have no worries about him. I think he's going to be a terrific player. The question is, how many games is he going to be the deciding factor in this year compared to perhaps a quarterback he selected? And looking at Teddy Bridgewater, I think we know where his ceiling is. Mm-hmm. Looking at Drew Lock, we don't know where his ceiling is. I think it's been lowered a little bit every year, potentially. But we know where he is right now. Where he is right now is a guy that's been far too careless with the ball, leading the league in turnovers. How much better does Drew Lock have to be to give you that league average quarterbacking that you're talking about? And what does he have to do in order to do it?
Lead this team to wins. Don't lead the league in interceptions. Play like you did the last couple of games in the year where you were 7-2 to end the year. Play like you did your rookie season where you were 4-1 at the end of the year. Like, that's what this team is looking for. They're looking for somebody who could guide this team down the field, who could stay away from turnovers, who doesn't have a big turnover game like you did against the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas. that you could actually hit your guys in the numbers and not like you did against the game at home against Kansas City. It's so crazy in my mind right now that I can literally go through game by game by game and say, oh, yeah, Drew Lock, he messed up there. Oh, yeah, he messed up there as well. Look, we know that you're not going to have the perfect game every day. You're not going to have the four touchdown passes against Carolina. That's not going to happen all the time. But we do want this is, we'll be fine with two touchdowns, no interceptions, or three touchdowns, maybe one interception, but you're throwing for 250, 300 yards. You're being the guy who not only manages the game, but when you're asked to win the football game, you're able to do so at the end like you did against the Chargers. So that's what this team is looking for. That's honestly what this franchise is looking for. And to be very, very honest, that's what the national media is looking for, which is the reason why they're not on national TV this year.
Simple question then. Last one for you. What have you seen from the current coaching staff, specifically Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio, that makes you believe that Drew Lock will get there?
Another year to be comfortable. It's the first time that Drew Lock will have, and I don't think he even had this in college. I think you have to go all the way back to high school, where he will go into the offseason, and he's in the offseason, and go into another year where he doesn't have to learn another playbook. He doesn't have to worry about the verbiage or things like that anymore. He doesn't have to just think twice when there's a play out there. He could just now let his instincts take over. He could go to the offensive line and now look and say, okay, based off this play call that we talked about last year, I know where the ball should go. And if this guy isn't open, I know where my second read is or my third read is, or I know I need to throw the football away, or I know I need to go and check down. Like, those are the things that he knows now. And hopefully, with another year under the Pat Shurmur system, he'll be able to make things work, and we'll see what happens this year.
He is Justin Adams. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Justin Adams TV. And, of course, in the morning, CBS4, you morning people, but I respect you a great deal. I will never be one. So thanks for the time, my friend. Good stuff talking to you. Looking forward to next week.
Sean, always a pleasure, my friend. And I'll buy you some energy drinks next time. We'll be all right.
I'll take you up on that. Have a good night.
See ya.
It's good to talk to Justin Adams. As always, make sure, hey, look, if you're getting up early, like I said, I tip my cap. Check him out on CBS4 in the morning. The Colorado Rockies broke a 5-game losing streak when they won the second half of their doubleheader against the Padres last night. They took on the Reds tonight and cruised for most of the innings. I'll explain next.